Welcome to the SDR game. I'm your host, a seasoned SDR manager with experience across five tech companies. In today's episode, I'm sharing my interview on the Teach Me Outbound podcast by Casper. We are diving into how to spot the key trait of successful SDRs, how to build a successful outbound strategy, and how to define your ideal customer profile and buyer personas. Let's dive in.
Welcome, Eric. This is the first episode, I guess you'd call it, of the new series we're running, which is Teach Me Outbound. Basically, all we're doing is trying to speak to people who are still in the trenches, actually know what's happening with SDRs at the moment, and giving some really useful advice that people can take away and start actioning today. So the reason I want to speak to you was, who better to speak to, right? You host your own podcast, you speak to the best SDRs, you've been an SDR yourself. You've built out teams, you've been a solo SDR, so you know the role inside out. Or if you're a great person to get started with. So do you want to say what you're doing now? Obviously, you've just joined a new company, so yeah. How's that going?
Yeah, so thanks for having me, Joe, first. That's the first thing we need to say. So right now, I'm currently running the SDR team at Agorapulse. So we have four SDRs on the team, and we are mainly inbound-driven. So it's super interesting because it's a PLG motion at this company. So we are starting to build the outbound function and pretty excited about that. So it's just the beginning for me with PLG and I'm pretty excited. And the second thing, like you mentioned, so I host also a podcast called SDR Game, where I interview top performing SDRs, but now starting also to have SDR leaders or people we're managing teams to talk about outbound strategies mainly. So thank you for having me.
Amazing. So obviously you've just started at Agorapulse. You've got a new team. You're looking at building the outbound function. And a lot of the noise at the moment is how much the SDR role is changing, right? Not just in this market especially, but over the last few years as well. There's harsher targets. There's new channels. There's so much more to consider. Has that changed what you think makes a good SDR in terms of building out your team? Is there new skills you're looking at, or do you think the core is still the same and it's more about training?
So for me, I always work with SDR teams where we need to build everything, meaning that I never manage a team where I just need to start a role and just manage a team, meaning that I just need to focus on coaching and training. So mainly the teams I'm working with is you need to build everything from scratch. So I think the profile will be different in both scenarios. So when you're building a team, and that's what I'm doing right now, I'm really focusing on specific skills. So the first one is taking ownership. I think when you're building a team, it's super important because you want to have people that can take ownership on creating, you know, a new sequence, for example, that they want to try out. A-B test the sequence, because obviously I'm here to build the team, but I want to give some ownership to the team so we can grow as a team quicker. So that will be the first one. The second one is that they need to be adaptable. So meaning by that is I want to have people on the team that, for example, where if they are moving from a bigger company to a smaller company, like I'm working at here, can they adapt to the lack of processes, the lack of documentation around the processes. So, because if you are working at Salesforce, for example, and moving to a small company, the support you have from the marketing team, the ops team, will be completely different working with a team where you don't have any processes, for example. So at Salesforce, maybe you don't need to think about the accounts you need to add to your pipeline because you have a sales ops team that's going to help you. But when you are creating a team, you don't have all of this. So you, for the SDR that you are going to hire, they need to adapt to that. And sometimes people, candidates coming from bigger companies, they don't like this type of environment because you need to do more than what you're supposed to do. Because yes, the job description says you need to book meetings, but your daily task will be way different. And the last thing is, and I think it's for when you're building team or managing team, it's coachability, because you want to have reps that they are open to feedback. But I think the important thing is when you give them feedback, how quick do they apply the feedback on their, if it's something that they need to adapt on their, I don't know, their processes, are they adapting, applying this feedback the same week or the same day, for example? And that's something I think it's super important. So I would say coachability, adaptability, and taking ownership.
Nice. And you mentioned as well, so you're building the outbound from scratch, shifting from inbound to outbound. What's been the most difficult part of that? And so, I assume it's been a big shift in coaching, right?
Yep. Yes, the way I'm thinking about it is today, SDR, they are doing everything. And I think it's good for the short term, but in the long term, it's not good. You want to separate the two functions. So the SDRs were owning the demo requests, but then the SDRs were going to own the outbound process. And I know some people have a different definition of what's inbound and outbound, but for me, inbound, it's the hand raisers, people who want to talk to us. But for me, outbound is all the rest. So the free trials that people are just starting today, for example, because they didn't say they want to talk to us. So this is a different mindset. So it's not having the SDRs waiting for the prospect to talk to us. In the future, I'm thinking about it, is having two teams for that. So people who are just handing demo requests, and then SDRs were more focused on specific list of target accounts, and it obviously can be a cold outbound from scratch. But if they start a free trial, yes, we have like maybe an individual contributor starting a free trial, but you might want to talk to the manager of this person, the VP at this company. And so here it's a different mindset.
It's interesting, I've seen that PLG play. I guess you haven't done too much of it before. What is the success rate of the conversations you have with people starting a free trial? Does it feel really like outbound still? Is it much warmer? What sort of the success rate?
The booking rate is higher. So right now we are at 9% of booking rate. So for every free trial that starts that we think it's a good fit for us, we have a 9% booking rate. So if you compare to outbound, it's obviously higher than going to those prospects than the rest.
Nice. And then shifting more generally into what's winning, obviously for PFG, for starting a free trial, that's great and that's a good source, but you've had exposure to quite a few different teams, right, across different industries. What channels are really booking the most meetings at the moment? And so do you reckon that's changed much this year?
I think it will depend on the buyer personas and your SCP, obviously. So for us here, it's the phone and email for now because we didn't spend too much time on LinkedIn yet. But I can give you more details on my previous role when I was working at CastorDoc because I have 8 months of data. So CastorDoc, for context, I'm sorry, the my buyer persona were data leaders. So they are more technical buyer personas, and I've thought email were going to be easy, but for example, email was not super good. We are like 1% reply rate. I think we can definitely have done a better job, obviously. But the best channel we had was LinkedIn, for example. And the thing with this channel, for example, with technical leaders, you can think that, they're not active on LinkedIn. Yes, I'm not active on LinkedIn, meaning that if you compare to sales leaders or marketing leaders, they're not spending too much time on LinkedIn, but they still go to LinkedIn and they open their inbox and they reply to email. And basically 50 or 60% of my meetings were coming from LinkedIn. So I don't have like an answer for every persona, but I think it's more, you need to test what's working with your persona. But what I learned about technical leaders is even though they're not posting on LinkedIn, they are on LinkedIn, but they are playing to LinkedIn. And the main difference, I would say, it's you can pitch to them, obviously in a good way. I'm not saying you still need it to do your research, but they are replying. So 60% of my pipeline were coming from LinkedIn.
That's a pretty crazy number, right? What would be your best tip? So I never had much luck with LinkedIn personally. I got a lot of people don't get it right. What would be sort of your tips for LinkedIn? I got as loads out there, but from someone with 60% booking of it.
Yeah. So I think the first thing to think about is a person active on LinkedIn? That's the first thing to think about, meaning that are they posting on LinkedIn? If they're posting on LinkedIn, you don't pitch them. You need to do some research and talk about something they post recently. So that's the first thing. On my side, technical leader, they were more on the second bucket. They were not active. So I was following pretty much the same process that I'm doing generally for the other channel. It's my research. But if you compare to emails, generally I had a message of 5 lines maximum, because LinkedIn is not email. It's more like a social media. It's a social media, so you need to be more straight to the point. So that's, yeah. My advice here is, if they are active, talk about something they post recently. If they're not active, you can still pitch, but with some research and being obviously relevant. So if you find something about them, and I can show you an example if you want.
Please.
Yeah. So I booked, one of my biggest opportunity was with Gong, actually. It was a 75K deal with them. And I used an interview that I found about one of the director of the engineering team. And they were talking about all the challenges they have with the data team, the data warehouse, and other things. So I used the interview to reach out to the accounts. Even though it wasn't the same person, I reached out to the BI leader, so the business intelligence leader. And I used what I've heard about them inside this interview. So I found one problem that they had with Connect. They had so many data, and a solution can help with that. So I used that. And basically, I could send the same message to all the data leaders at the company, because it was relevant to them, because it was an interview that they recorded 6 months before I reached out to them. So it was still a challenge for them, and it was relevant to them. So I found something important for them, and that's how I booked them.
That's a great point, to be fair. The fact that it's still personal, right? You've done the extra bit of research, which is going to stand out from 90% of the crowd. But the fact you can still use it for multiple people across Gong is really useful, I think, for a lot of people. So shifting more to manager advice, as someone who has built SDR teams, you're in a really exciting project at the moment. So what trends are you really seeing, and what are you trying to implement? What are your core focuses that you think other managers should be focusing on as well?
So I think there is two things here, because there is a manager who is going to manage the team, but also the CEO or the founders or the VP of sales. Let's start with the executive side. So I think the main thing I'm seeing right now lately is there is so many CEOs or co-founders that they want to start building an SDR function with hiring junior SDRs. And with no managers, sorry, I forgot to mention. So it's not working because generally the SDR team is, if you are hired junior reps, you need more training and coaching. And obviously if you think that this team will figure out everything on their own, they won't, because for a lot of reasons, because outbound specifically is getting tougher. You need to be quick at testing, and you want to have someone to help and train this team, for example. So the thing with that is, when you start an SDR team from scratch, all you need to have someone who already done that at different jobs, build a team, or maybe an SDR that's been in an SDR role for 2 years, but that want to move to leadership, because you want to have someone who already know how what to do without being here to train them or coach them. So that's a trend I'm seeing. And there is so many, if I'm mistaken or not, but when you start an SDR team from scratch, you want to have someone who knows what to do in this situation. The second thing, and here it's for CEOs, founders, but also SDR leaders in general, it's around the outbound strategy. Is you need to be the expert on the ICP and the buyer personas. And why? It's because, yes, we can talk about the channels. We can talk about LinkedIn or what's best if it's email or cold calls. But I think the main mistake I'm seeing also, and that's a trend, but I'm working on that actually on my podcast and the newsletter, but it's talking about how you need to craft your ICP and the buyer personas. And it's not about, hey, ICP is company with 1 million ARR and that's it. No, it's what's the industry, obviously, but what's, for example, let's say an example of when I was at CastorDoc, the ICP of CastorDoc was SaaS businesses, e-commerce businesses, and the last one was fintech. And why those three specifically is because the way they are managing their data, they need the solution that CastorDoc was offering. And they were the best ICP because the win rate was higher with them, the churn rate was really low with them, because generally the tech stack that they had about data was really aligned with what we do. So I think the ICP and buyer personas, it go way beyond than just the revenue of the company. It's, for example, I know for you at Casper could be obviously the size of the sales team, obviously the higher, the bigger the sales team is, the better it will be. But for example, for you, knowing that I know Casper is really good at data in France, do they have a French sales team? So if they don't, maybe it would be harder than another company. So I think there is, when you build the ICP, you need to go deeper than just the what you can find on LinkedIn or other tools to build your ICP.
It's really interesting, especially the senior SDRs we were speaking to actually recently, and he said the same thing, that more and more teams are looking at hiring that experienced SDR role. You mentioned you're looking at quite a lot the bigger focus with ICP and personas. Is there a particular piece, podcast, a newsletter that you've done recently that we could send people to that's covering that a bit more?
Yes, I do. I just wrote two newsletters about that. So one is to how to create your ICP from scratch, and the other one is how to build a buyer persona metrics.
Awesome. And just as a final outro question, and I'm going to start because you speak to so many good SDRs, but what is one piece of advice that SDRs should really be focusing on right now in this current market, and who is someone who's absolutely smashing this?
Yeah. And actually, that's a tip that I've heard so many times, and it started to resonate with me this year. It's A-B test. So, and I'm going to explain why it started to resonate with me this year. So I've been an SDR in the space for the past 5 years, and I've been here hearing you need to A-B test. And I say, okay, that's fine. But I was already thinking about just, yeah, the subject line in your emails, and that's it. But the thing is with A-B test, it's a constant, you need to test constantly what you are doing, meaning that, for example, if you run emails or LinkedIn messages, you need to A-B test all the time to improve your results over time, because right now, outbound is tougher than the previous years. And so you still need to try your messaging, the subject line, obviously, but you can test so many things. But I think for me, A-B testing before was just, oh yeah, one thing, I do it once a month and that's it. But I think A-B test, it's something you need to do it all the time, because you can start, you can create a sequence from scratch and it doesn't work. But it doesn't mean that your sequence doesn't work. You need to A-B test to improve it and make it better. Because I don't think you can create a sequence that's going to work from the first time. So that's something I really focus more. That's something I'm focusing a lot this year. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. So for Spotify, to leave a review, what you can do is you can use your phone, then go on the Spotify app, then you go to the SDR Game page, and then at the top of the page, you can leave a review. It's a 5-star review. If you enjoyed the episode, obviously. And then if you are listening to this episode on Apple Podcasts, feel free also to leave a review on your app. Thanks for listening, and I see you on the next episode.